So Jesus' words for us today give us really the defining principle for what it means to follow him. And Jesus' words weren't new. He was reading Isaiah, written hundreds of years before him, reading Isaiah, who was describing what would happen when God's promises became complete. Now, traditionally, the words Jesus said out of Isaiah, they were understood as a hope for the distant future, for people who had lost everything when they were exiles or when they faced persecution from foreign occupation. But the words Jesus read were almost always understood as being some time far away in the distant future when the long-hoped-for Messiah, the promised one, would come. Now, when we hear Jesus reading in the synagogue today, we might think that that's kind of a special occurrence, but actually it wasn't. It was the most normal thing in the world for people, members of the synagogue, people there at worship, to stand up and read, just as Kathy read our lessons for us today. Okay? We do this every week. And it was a normal thing to do. What was different was what Jesus said afterwards. What he said afterwards was, today these words have been fulfilled as you heard them. Now, today. Now, what Jesus said clearly meant something. But I'd like to suggest what he didn't say also meant something. So if you look at that section of Isaiah that Jesus read from, Jesus stopped what he read in mid-verse. The words that came next were, the words he chose not to read are, for God's vengeance is coming. Jesus chose not to read, for God's vengeance is coming. Why would he choose to stop there and skip those words? I wonder if he skipped those words because now that Jesus had come, the time of fearing judgment was over. It was done. See, because of Jesus, we don't need to fear God's judgment anymore. We have been, as Paul puts it, reconciled with God. The relationship has been restored. We are clean, we are forgiven, we are free. No fear, no worries. Yet when we hear those words, sometimes we are tempted to give in to what has been called cheap grace. Cheap grace is the sense that we have God's promise of forgiveness and freedom, so then we're off the hook. Cheap grace says we have no role to play, we have no responsibility, there's nothing we should do. Cheap grace says we can expect, maybe even demand, God's love and forgiveness no matter what, and just take it for granted. The truth is, grace is not cheap. It is not cheap at all, far from it. Grace is costly. It cost Jesus his life and his sacrifice for us and to us. God's love, God's grace is meant to be used. It is meant to be the central organizing principle of our lives. So think about what we do in worship. When we begin worship every week, we join in confession. We gather here to receive God's renewed promise of forgiveness in the bread and the wine. And we do this without fear, knowing that we are forgiven. But we also do it because we remember we need it. We need to remember that we fail. We hurt others. We hurt God, frequently without even knowing it. Sometimes it might feel like we lie awake at night thinking up new ways to mess up our lives. Sometimes we will ruminate. We will talk ourselves into believing that we can't be forgiven for something we have done or for something we are afraid we have become. And in those times especially, confession matters. It prepares us to hear God's promise of love and forgiveness again and to remember it's just what we need. Now, ideally, we confess every day, renewing God's promise in us, remembering the promise of forgiveness and new life for us. It is the perfect way to start the day. But again, our selfish side, it likes to rear its head. And our selfish side sometimes likes to stop there. The part of us that says, oh good, I'm forgiven, I'm free, I got mine. I got what I want, I got what I need from God, so I'm going to stop there. But if we stop there with a promise of forgiveness, we end up cheating ourselves of the opportunity for our faith to live and become more alive in us. See, we are saved, and we are saved for something. We are set free for a purpose. Jesus wants to be in relationship with us every day and to love God by loving others. It is a process of being filled up and emptied out every day. When I was in Boy Scouts, about 6-7 years ago, one year we were privileged to go to a Boy Scout camp in New Mexico, Philmont Camp in the Rockies. And we were camping and backpacking through the Rockies, and I got to tell you, the water in the streams there was so good, particularly after you've been, you know, climbing up mountains on hot days. And toward the end of our trip, I thought, this water is so good, it's so refreshing, it's so sweet. I'm going to fill up my canteen and take some home to share with my family so they can taste it too. So I proudly brought this canteen of water home after 2 days on a train and another day on a bus. And I brought it home, and I opened up the canteen to pour some for my parents. And it was cloudy, and it stank, because it had been capped up in a well-used canteen in the hold of a train and under seats in a bus. It needed to be emptied out and filled back up. That can happen to us in our relationship with God if we do not empty ourselves out to get filled back up again and again and again. So Jesus read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, is upon you too." God begins in us with the promise we receive in baptism. Remember these words we use? You are marked by the cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. So what do we do with it? Well, that part's up to us. We can choose to live like the world around us, living for ourselves in this what's in it for me world. Or we can choose to live differently, to live like Jesus, to let the Spirit of the Lord that is upon us live and work through us, to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, food to the hungry, freedom to the oppressed. You may recall the word Spirit is one of those words that has a bunch of meanings all at the same time. It means spirit, and it means wind, and it means breath. We can choose to hold our breath, or we can breathe in and out and let God's wind blow across the face of the earth. Jesus read Isaiah to tell us God's will, that we love God by loving others, caring for the poor, seeking justice, healing and hope, new life for those who feel dead inside, those for whom hope is died. Now, the way God works in us and through us, the way we live our faith, rarely makes headlines, and others might not even notice it or see it, but that's okay, because that's not the point. Today, about a quarter of our confirmation students are going to make, 100, 150 lunches? 200. I'm low, okay. 200 lunches for homeless men who spend the night at guest house. They've been doing that all month. And when the men leave the shelter and walk out on the street, they get a lunch to go with them. That pallet of macaroni and cheese we're building, the food packs coming in Lent to feed the hungry, those are all about God's love. They're all about God's love. That's what it means to be faithful, as well as those who pray for us, the ones who hug us when we're facing hard times, the ones who stay with us when we're scared, those who walk with others in recovery, the ones who visit and write and call, those who mourn and those who grieve, those who bake the bread we share here, those who teach and care for children, those who sing and play instruments, those who take care of neighbors who need a hand, and so many more. Isn't that what Paul described in our second reading today? We each have different gifts, desires, and abilities. We don't do just one thing. Again, some of you take turns baking the bread we use in communion. Imagine if we all baked bread. No music. No order of service. No lights. No Sunday school. No service. No wine, just bread. And of course, it's not just what happens inside these walls, is it? Serving, learning, praising, feeding others, carrying Christ into the world. See, friends, the challenge for us is to live in that balance between faith and action. It's not worship or service, it's both. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us too. We breathe in and we breathe out. We are filled with God's love and forgiveness, and we empty ourselves out as we love God by loving others with food and clothes and time and prayer and visits and hugs. And then we are filled back up again. May that journey bring you peace and awaken new levels of meaning and purpose in you so you can feel God at work in you, setting you free and working through you to bring power, the power of God's love into this world. Now, today.